Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
A rich young man who desired to do something in order to receive eternal life approached the Lord Jesus about this matter. But the Lord's word to him caused him to leave in utter discouragement at the impossibility that he could ever meet such a requirement. Jesus then used this occasion to reveal the matter not of salvation, but of the reward awaiting those who follow him into the kingdom. Bob Danker has joined us today as we look at this intriguing matter of the reward of the kingdom. Welcome to the program, Bob.
It's good to be with you again, Chris. This is a wonderful and, as you said, intriguing matter, this matter of the reward of the kingdom, which we are going to consider in today's broadcast.
Right at the outset, just say very clearly for the sake of our listeners so they know where we're headed today, the reward of the kingdom is not our salvation and the hope of our salvation. This is something altogether different that many believers have missed. And I think that these coming programs, particularly now as we get into these next chapters in Matthew, very much focus on this matter, don't they?
Yes, this is one of the most important things that we can understand and apply in our Christian life.
Well, yesterday we saw this story of the rich young ruler who came to the Lord, called him good teacher, and then asked him what he must do in order to obtain eternal life. And through the Lord's word to him, we're able to see the third requirement that we've seen in the last few programs related to entering into the kingdom. Maybe you could review this third item particularly for us.
Yes, the rich young ruler, of course, he came to the Lord. The Lord told him, if you want to enter into life, you should keep the commandments. And the ruler said, these I have done from my youth. So we can see that this young man was of the highest moral standard. He was a very, very good person. But then the Lord told him to do something which he couldn't do, or the Lord gave him a requirement that he could not fulfill. And that requirement was to leave everything, to sell all his possessions, give them to the poor, and come and follow the king, follow Christ. This means that the rich young ruler needed to let everything go and just love the Lord above everything else, and to pursue the Lord and to follow the Lord. Well, because this rich young ruler was wealthy, had a lot of earthly possessions, and apparently he loved these possessions more than he loved Christ, he was not able to fulfill the requirement of the kingdom. But this shows us that the disciples then asked the Lord, well, if this young man cannot be saved, who can be saved? So the Lord said, well, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So this means, Chris, that with our natural life, our natural human life, even a good human life, this young man was a very good man. He probably was what we would consider a very highly moral young man. He had a good human life, but even his good human life was not able to meet the high requirements of the kingdom of the heavens. Another life is required to meet those requirements, and that is the divine life, the eternal life, the life of God, which is Christ himself.
Yeah, it seems that whatever we think we're able to do, if we bring that to the Lord, he will just raise the bar another notch and another notch. Eventually, we all reach our end, don't we?
That's right. We reach the end of our human capacity.
Well, let's look at these verses today. Now, we're going on just beyond this story and how the Lord now turns this event to reveal something very meaningful to the disciples. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, who then can be saved? And Bob, you quoted the verse a minute ago. Looking up to them, Jesus said to them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I think anyone hearing this word would have to feel like the disciples felt, astonished and fully aware of the impossibility, seemingly, of meeting these requirements. But just as the Lord told the disciples, we need to see that with God, all things are possible. Let's join Witness Lee.
Chapter 19 firstly gives us the requirement of the kingdom. Of course, it is more than logical that it has to give us something regarding the reward of the kingdom. In Matthew, the environment of the happenings always afforded the Lord Jesus a good chance to reveal some things concerning the kingdom to us. After the rich man went, the Lord Jesus said, for the rich man to enter into the kingdom is too hard. Even a camel can easily pass through the needle eye, but the rich man cannot enter into the kingdom. Then the disciples said, then who can be saved? They were kind of foolish in talking, but the Lord Jesus was always clear in answering. He said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The impossibility can become a possibility with the divine life. Then Peter answered, behold, we have left all and follow you. Now we are here. What then is there for us? The Lord was altogether fair. He said, even everyone who left the houses, mother, father, brother, sister, and so forth, for my name's sake, they will receive a reward. A reward of two parts. The first part in this age, and the second part in the coming age. In this age, the first part will be 100-fold, 100 times of the material things they left. And the second part in the coming age will be what? Just the enjoyment. The full enjoyment of the eternal life. Amen. This is clear and this is fair. So I believe Peter was very satisfied with this answer.
Well, Bob, Peter once again has a question, and this time he gets an answer that, for the moment at least, is going to satisfy him, although the Lord is not quite through with him yet. The Lord here unveils this reward that is awaiting the kingdom people, Bob. And as he does it, he shows it to be of two parts, one part in this age and one in the age that will follow. What are these two parts or two aspects of the kingdom reward?
Well, Chris, the Lord said that anyone who leaves houses and lands and father and mother and sister and brother, various kinds of physical things, to follow me, this one will receive 100-fold of the very things that he left, and then eventually he will inherit eternal life. So there are two parts here. One is to enjoy 100-fold of the things that we left in order to follow the Lord, and the other is to inherit eternal life or to enter into the fullest and the richest and highest enjoyment of the eternal life, which is the divine life, the life of God. Well, when will these two things take place? Well, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 30, the same word is spoken by the Lord, and there he clearly says that our receiving 100 times as much will be at this time or in this very life, in this age in which we are now living. Then in the coming age, it says, we will inherit eternal life. So the first part of the reward the Lord gives us is a reward that we will enjoy in this very age in which we are living, as we are living on this earth, if we leave various physical things. And in order to follow the Lord or for the sake of the Lord and his kingdom, then the Lord said he will reward us with the enjoyment of 100 times as much of those very things that we left in order to follow him. We will enjoy those things, not in the coming age, we'll enjoy them today. In this age. And my experience tells us this is really true. What little I have left to follow the Lord has rewarded me with 100 times as much. I can testify this. This doesn't mean that I want to be rich or that I like to have a lot of material things. I'm just saying this because the Lord's word is true and he is faithful. But then this enjoyment of material things in this age is almost nothing in comparison to the reward that will come to us in the coming age. And that reward, surpassingly great reward, will be the fullest enjoyment of the eternal life. So here we have the reward in two stages.
Well, Bob, let's look for just a second at Peter's actual question. We're not done with this yet, this phrase, and what the Lord is going to use out of his own word to reveal something. Verse 27 says, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Behold, we have left all and followed you. What then will there be for us?'" So Peter's thinking he's done something, now thereby he has earned something. Of course, in answering him, the Lord goes on to reveal that those who have left all and followed him are going to sit with him to rule and reign over the house of Israel in the coming kingdom. Then he adds this little phrase at the end, verse 30, "But many first will be last, and many last first." Now, Peter has something else to wrestle with. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Peter was very commercial. Listen to his question. "We have left all what we have and follow you. Then what will be for us?" That means what? We have paid the price. What will you give to us? You know, in the market, in the supermarket, always we heard the salesman, they always say, "You get what your daughter buys." Now, this is the concept of Peter. We left everything and we follow you. And now we are with you. What do we get? The Lord Jesus was fair, telling him, "What do you get? Okay, you'll get this. As you 12, who never sit on the throne in my glory, you will be put on 12 thrones." Peter, is this good? The answer of the Lord was very satisfactory to him. But the Lord Jesus would not let him go. He said, "But many that are first shall be lost." This indicates what? You, Peter, and you 12, and you many who are here are the first. Eventually, in receiving the reward, you'll be the last. Why the Lord did this? Just to revolutionize Peter's commercial mind. Peter has a commercial mentality. "We paid so much. How much you give us?" The Lord said, "Okay, you paid that much. This much I give you. I give you more than what you paid. Is that okay, Peter?" "Okay." But the Lord says, "You have to know, you the first will be the last. And the last will be the first. In order to show you, what I am going to give you is not based upon the commercial principle. The reward of the kingdom, yes, it is a reward. It is at a cost. It is based upon a price. But it is altogether not a commercial thing. What we have left, that means nothing. What the Lord will give you means a lot. Actually, what you paid is just D-U-N-G. All things beside Christ, all things apart from Christ is nothing but dung. You have to realize, Peter, you'll be sitting in the throne of the king. When I will sit on the throne in my glory, you 12 will be enthroned in 12 thrones to rule over the children of Israel. What's that? That's kingship. Peter, what have you left? What have you left? Just done. Peter, this is your price. This is what you have paid. But what I'm going to reward you is the kingship.
Well, Bob, as has become the pattern of this book, it seems like the Lord continually uses Peter to expose not just Peter, but actually all of us. Peter's thought here is like our thought much of the time, and that is he approached the things of God in a very earthly manner. What is meant by this term, a commercial mentality?
Of course, a commercial mentality is a mentality that reasons in a certain way, saying, I should receive something according to the price that I pay. In other words, if I pay so much, I should get so much in return. This is altogether a commercial mentality. What I receive is based upon what I pay. And this was absolutely Peter's mentality. He said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What will we receive? Peter wanted to know, what will we get for the price that we have paid? This is a commercial mentality. Actually, and so the Lord told him what he would receive. You know, he said, you'll receive 100 times in this age and eternal life in the next. You'll enjoy the divine life to the fullest in the next age. And you 12, you will sit on thrones in the coming age, the time when I sit on the throne of my glory here on the earth. You'll sit on 12 thrones and you'll judge the 12 tribes. This was what Peter was going to receive from the Lord, was much more than what he gave up or what he had left to follow the Lord. This is the first indication that the Lord does not operate on a commercial principle. Actually, what we give up or leave in order to follow the Lord, as Witness Lee so well pointed out to us, is really dung, D-U-N-G. Dung is rubbish, garbage, trash, worthless, something that is worthless. We may be the richest man in the world, or we may have the highest office in the nation, but whatever we have, as long as it is something of this earth, is really worth nothing, nothing at all. If we were to leave everything and follow Christ, actually the price that we will actually pay is nothing, zero, because what we have is really worth nothing. And this is not Witness Lee's concept. This was the Apostle Paul's concept. Because if we read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul in that verse said that, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as refuse, so that I may gain Christ. So in Paul's mentality, Christ was supremely precious and valuable. And he wanted to gain Christ, and he was willing to suffer the loss of everything that he had. We realize Paul, before he was saved, he was a very high-ranking person in the Jewish religion. He had advanced beyond the contemporaries in his race, and he had a very high position. But when he met the Lord and he saw the surpassing preciousness and worth of Christ, then he was willing to pay the price to suffer the loss of everything. And he didn't regret that he'd lost those things. In fact, he counted them as refuse, as something that was worth nothing compared to what he would receive, which is just Christ himself. So what we gain, what the Lord gives us, when we pay the price, so to speak, we think it's paying the price. Actually, there's no price. How can we value what we receive? What we receive is just the person of the Lord, as the grace, as the enjoyable grace, and as the rich eternal life to us.
There's really nothing that we could give or offer or leave or forsake that can in any measure compare, is there?
Not at all, Chris.
But yet our natural mind will oftentimes twist that, focus on it, and blow up this price that we're paying to be some marvelous thing. And then the Lord will come and shine this penetrating light, and it just becomes mist.
That's right.
Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee.
The main point here is to show us, don't have a commercial mind. Don't think, salvation is based upon grace. The Lord Jesus did everything for us. We don't need to have any work. It is altogether a matter of grace. But the reward is a matter according to our work. According to the price we pay, then the Lord will give us a reward. It seems the reward is something by our work. You know, we are the same, like Peter, holding on to a kind of a commercial mentality. We all have to be re-educated that we have to know even the reward is altogether a matter of grace. To get the reward is not to pay price, but to enjoy grace. To be saved is to receive grace. And to get the reward is to enjoy the very grace which you have received. We have to learn how to enjoy grace. This is not to pay the price. We run the race. We take the pathway. We follow the Lord, leaving everything behind. This is not to pay the price. What you sacrifice? You sacrifice done. What you have ever sacrificed is just vanity of vanities. Let me tell you the truth. To leave all the things behind us is to unload us, is to release us. So give up the commercial mentality. Do you realize when the hour comes, you all will be the first to receive the reward? One day we will see. We will receive the reward first, and we will receive the same as Peter. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? Hallelujah. This will be our reward.
Bob, to really understand this matter of the kingdom reward, we need to be very clear that we're not talking about our salvation here. The reward being revealed in Matthew is not the same thing as salvation, which of course we know is totally of grace. But we're finding out that the reward also has this aspect of grace attached to it. Although the term somewhat conveys the feeling that it's a repayment for something that we have paid in advance. We talked about this. But really, as we pointed out, there's nothing that we could do ever to warrant the kind of reward that the Lord has for those who are going to be with Him in His kingdom, is there?
That's right, Chris. There's nothing we could do, no price that we could pay that would warrant the reward that the Lord will give to us. And actually, this reward, as Witness Lee pointed out, is really a matter of the Lord's gracious giving. The Lord is gracious. What we give up is worth really nothing. And actually, as Witness Lee pointed out, to give up all these earthly things to follow the Lord, to love Him supremely, is really to be released. The more earthly things you have, the more bondage you experience. We're bound by all these earthly things. But when we leave these earthly things to follow Christ, then we're released. And then we're freed to enjoy grace. The very grace that saves us becomes our enjoyment when we pay the price, so to speak, to follow the Lord. Then the Lord Himself, who is the grace that saved us, becomes our enjoyment when we are released from all our earthly entanglements and follow Him. So actually, the reward also is a matter of grace. We are saved by grace. But unless we follow Christ and love Him and pursue Him absolutely, we will not be able to enjoy the very grace by which we have been saved. So, in order to receive the kingdom reward, we need to enjoy the very grace that saves us. And this grace is Christ. Christ Himself is the grace. And by our enjoying this grace, then we will inherit the fullest enjoyment of this grace, which is Christ again, in the coming age, the age of the kingdom.
Well, Bob, I just pray that this message today and these verses we've read together will help re-educate us and our listeners as the Lord re-educated our brother Peter at the time he spoke this.
We all need such a re-education.
We surely do. Thank you, Brother Bob. I appreciate, as always, your fellowship.
It's a pleasure to be here.